World Sport from the BBC with Andrew Hawes. Coming up in the next 10 minutes, Senegal await sanctions for the riot that caused their Africa Cup of Nations match with Ivory Coast to be abandoned. English Premier League side Liverpool announced plans to rebuild their famous Anfield home. And English cricket officials apologise to their South African counterparts in the Kevin Peterson text row. Let's start with football news. The Confederation of African Football has revealed the seedings for the draw for the 2013 Cup of Nations. And Ivory Coast are among the top seeds, despite the second leg of their qualifier against Senegal in Dakar being abandoned at the weekend. With Ivory Coast leading 2-0, a riot by Senegal fans inside the stadium led to the match being called off with a quarter of an hour still to play. Police fired tear gas as thousands of home supporters lit fires and threw objects in protests at their team's performance. CAF yet to comment formally, but Senegal are expected to face severe sanctions. And the Senegal manager, Ferdinand Colley, says it was a traumatic experience for the younger players in the squad. He thinks it may put some of their international careers at risk because of the fear it could happen again.
Yes, even though we didn't feel an immediate danger, the images we saw in the stands were certainly not pleasant. Violence has no place in a stadium, and unfortunately there was some. That can't be tolerated. When you leave your club in Europe to represent the national team, you do it with your heart, with patriotism. They don't play for the national team for money. And after what happened on Saturday, you have to understand that in the future, it will be difficult to motivate the players, and it will certainly be hard to convince other players to come and represent the jersey of the national team.
Well, Senegal could now be made to play competitive matches outside the country for a specified period, and CAF could even ban them from a number of qualifying competitions. Aliou Golico is a football journalist based in the country.
I think they will get a very, very a tough punishment because CAF has personal deals with Senegalese officials. They will not miss this occasion to cut that one. They will give them serious amounts, serious amount of money to be paid. They will be shift all the Senegalese game in closed-door country, maybe not Gambia, for sure, certainly, it's an English-speaking country. It may not be in Mali. Mali is not these days in a good mood, it's not stable in political way. It may not be also Mauritania, because in Mauritania there is no football, there is no fans. I think the closest country may be Ivory Coast, and that is a funny thing. Senegal may be playing their coming game in Abidjan, where you have 500,000 Senegalese people living.
The Egyptian Football Association has decided to suspend the country's Premier League indefinitely because of security reasons. It was first brought to a halt in February after 74 supporters from the Cairo side Al Ahly were killed in a stadium riot in Port Said. Now to England, where Liverpool have revealed they plan to redevelop Anfield rather than build a new stadium in nearby Stanley Park in the city. The capacity of the ground is set to be extended from 45,000 to 60,000 fans, and full plans will be drawn up in the coming months before a public consultation. Liverpool captain Steven Gerrard has welcomed the news.
It's been on everyone's lips for a number of years now. Would we move away from Anfield, or would we invent Anfield, if you like, and build onto it? So I've been like everyone else, all the supporters, waiting for the verdict on that, and it looks as if they've made the decision that it's going to be Anfield, which is great, because you know, a lot of important things and a lot of history has happened at Anfield at this club, and I think it's fantastic that they're staying at Anfield. If they can make that place even better than it is now, then I'm really looking forward to seeing it.
Well, Gerrard's available for England's World Cup qualifier against Poland on Tuesday. And the national manager, Roy Hodgson, plans to name his team on Tuesday morning to avoid it being leaked by the media.
We have a meeting tonight, and I won't name the team until tomorrow, because it's quite strange. Whenever you do, it finds its way into the television and the newspapers the very next day. It's one of those mysterious things that one can never quite work out how it's happened, but it does. And I don't think I really feel that I should necessarily be advertising to our opponents so early, you know, what our thinking is.
Now to cycling and the Lance Armstrong case. As we reported last week here on the BBC World Service, after investigation, the US Anti-Doping Agency concluded Armstrong had led the most sophisticated, professionalised and successful doping programme that sport has ever seen. Their report included testimonies from 26 witnesses, including 11 former teammates of the seven times Tour de France winner. Armstrong maintains his innocence, but he chose not to contest the charges, denouncing the whole investigation as a witch hunt. Well, Emma O'Reilly was a former personal masseuse and team assistant for Armstrong's US Postal Squad. She's been speaking to the BBC, detailing the lengths to which they went in order to avoid detection.
What I did was I went down to our service course near Alicante, and I'd actually had to rent a car at that time because, strangely enough, the team cars, there was no team car available, so I rented a car in France, yeah. So I went down at least in an unmarked car. Good 6 hours drive. And also that was another reason I knew there was something, because Lance had said to me, don't tell your boyfriend. And I thought, there's no way in hell am I going to bring him down, crossing over a border, pick up a package. Basically, you know, as I used to say to this, look at some of the soigneurs, these are drugs runners. And that's what I was being for the weekend, do you know what I mean? And involve him in it without letting him know that, here, you can come with me if you want, but here's what I'm doing. So we went down, 6 hours down that way. Johan gave me the tablets very discreetly, without letting anybody else know that I was getting them. And the following day, then, we went back up to France. And then the following morning, I met Lance in the car park at McDonald's and Fraser's, and we just handed them over.
Well, Cycling's world governing body, the UCI, has just over 2 weeks to raise any objections to the USADA investigation. If it doesn't, then the World Anti-Doping Agency are expected to formally begin the process of stripping Armstrong of his Tour de France titles and all results in the period under investigation. They'd also ratify his lifetime ban. Now, Cricket South Africa have accepted an apology from the England and Wales Cricket Board after Chief Executive David Collier had suggested South African players had provoked Kevin Peterson into sending text messages which, it's claimed, criticised his then-captain Andrew Strauss and other members of the England setup. As a result, the batsman was dropped by England in August during the home series against the South Africans, and it's only in recent weeks that Peterson's begun to resolve the matter with the ECB. While speaking to the BBC last week, the acting chief executive of Cricket South Africa, Jack Fall, made their feelings clear.
To us, that's not the way we play our cricket. You know, it's absolute rubbish that we would have a whole conspiracy to target Kevin Peterson and to provoke him to you know, send BBM messages. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I know that we all operate in the public space, but, you know, out of courtesy, they should have called us and we could have discussed it. But now that's out in the media, I guess, you know, that's what we will be discussing. But it's almost ridiculous. And we've spoken to our players, we've spoken to our managers that works with the team, and, you know, there's no such thing. It's absolutely rubbish.
So, a week on, an apology has been made, but as the BBC's cricket correspondent Jonathan Agnew explained, it doesn't quite close the matter.
Mr. Collier's remarks, made on BBC Radio's Sports Week programme, took many people by surprise, not least South Africa's players, who immediately refuted any suggestion that they were attempting to undermine the England team in the text exchange with Peterson. Cricket South Africa has accepted Mr. Collier's apology, but the two sides still disagree on the precise sequence of events, namely who started it all. In Peterson's statement 10 days ago, he insisted that he had responded to texts, and the ECB, and more importantly, England's players have accepted this version of events. Peterson is expected to meet members of the team and management this week as part of his reintegration programme.
Finally, the world record holder for the women's marathon, Paula Radcliffe, will no longer receive public funding from the sports governing body in the United Kingdom. She was selected to run at her home Olympics but pulled out of the Games injured. Radcliffe says she's not particularly surprised by the news. Reminder of our top story, the Confederation of African Footballs revealed the seedings for the draw for the 2013 African Cup of Nations. That's the latest world sport from the BBC.